This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wachovia, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, your Southeast Toyota dealers, the Parts House, and by Everbank. The appearance of Pete Banaszak is made possible by the Cascades of World Golf Village. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Well, the Jaguars go to Dallas and beat the Cowboys 35-17. And at the midway point of the season and at the bye week, the Jaguars are 4-4. Comments coming from Pete Banaszak and Marco Coleman. But first, let's get you updated on the scores from the other games going on around the National Football League. They've gone to overtime in Kansas City. The Bills and Chiefs are tied. Remember, Kansas City was the last team to have lost. The Bills still haven't won. Parity in the NFL, maybe this is what we're talking about here. Buffalo has the football in Kansas City territory on the 37-yard line. It'll be a long field goal from here, but they do have it first and 10, so we'll keep you updated on that game. A low-scoring affair in the Meadowlands. Mason Crosby booted three field goals for the Green Bay Packers. That was all the scoring. 9-0, the Packers beat the Jets today. The Jets did roll up 360 yards of total offense, but Green Bay with the only points of the game, winning 9-0, a big game for the Packers. Meanwhile, Denver and San Francisco playing in London, and San Francisco with a 24-16 victory today over the Denver Broncos. Kyle Orton threw a late touchdown pass to Brandon Lloyd to make it close, but the 49ers, who had struggled this year, beat Denver 24-16. Tim Tebow had a touchdown run in that ball game, coming in a short yardage package. In Detroit, the Lions leading Washington 31-25. Matthew Stafford returning to the lineup and doing it in fine style. A touchdown pass to Calvin Johnson, then later to Brandon Pettigrew, his tight end. Then another to Calvin Johnson, and then a third to Calvin Johnson today. The former Georgia Tech grad getting it done, making another Georgia Tech grad, Marco Coleman, happy about that. Yeah. And Stafford with the four touchdown passes today. 31-25, Detroit leading with a minute 50 to play. Washington has the football in their own territory. Also a final. St. Louis has beaten Carolina 20-10. Sam Bradford tossed a couple of touchdown passes for the Rams. And Miami finishing off Cincinnati 22-14. Dan Carpenter with five field goals. And then Ricky Williams punching one in from a yard out in the fourth quarter to solidify the Miami victory. Other games going on right now. San Diego and Tennessee, and the Titans blocking a punt and went out of the end zone for a safety. So an early 2-0 lead, San Diego trailing Tennessee. Tampa and Arizona just underway. Ditto for Minnesota, New England, and Seattle and Oakland. But again, the final for the Jaguars, 35-17. Pete Banaszak, this has been a Jekyll and Hyde team this year, but today the Jaguars were definitely on their best behavior.
Boy, pop the champagne. No, this was a great football team that played today. Someone we didn't see for the last 4 or 5 weeks. But I tell you, we did everything we had to do offensively. It was a good team effort. And instead of giving turnovers, we got the turnovers and we capitalized off of them. And that's as simple as that. And good teams do that. And it just goes to show you that we have the ability or the capability is doing this. Why can't we do it every week?
Yeah, and that's the maddening thing, of course. Now, we'll also point out that Dallas is really struggling. They've won only once this year, despite all the talent they have on that team. Marco, the big question in my mind is, was this temporary relief for the Jaguars season, or was this a harbinger of things to come?
Well, it seems like every time they have a dark cloud over them, coach maybe leaving, the court of questions at quarterback, they come up with their best games.
Yeah.
They come up with their best games. So we got to see if they can go ahead and get over the hump and play with some momentum. After the bye week, come in, have a great game against Houston, and keep the momentum going.
And that's really the issue. Boy, three straight losses would have been tough to deal with during the off week, but instead, here they are 4-4. Are they a division title contender? Maybe
that's
not.
Stretching it.
But are they a wild card contender?
Yeah, I would put them in that category.
You know, if they play as they did today, they'll be in good shape. All right, let's get the latest from the locker room. And Jeff Loggeman standing by with head coach Jack Del Rio.
All right, thank you, Cole. We're joined now by head coach Jack Del Rio. Jack, congratulations. A total team effort, certainly
I think it started on defense with taking the football away against the Dallas Cowboys at their place.
Well, it did. You know, we had kind of gone through a dry spell. We talked about how, you know, we're really close on a lot of plays and that they come in bunches. And so we just need to get that first one. And we got it early, and they kept coming. And it was a great day taking the football away. We did some real good things in terms of making it difficult for them to move the ball and when they had to. And then offensively, I thought we did a great job of finishing drives and putting them away and putting seven on the board.
The biggest question mark coming into this game was how would David kind of take over the helm again? You know, from the would he have any side effects from the concussion that he had Monday night? And all he did was produce four touchdown passes and the highest quarterback rated in the history of the franchise.
Well, he was sharp, you know, and typically he's been sharp in our wins, you know, so we need him to play like that. And obviously we get a huge lift from that. So I thought he made some huge plays in the game, did a great job. I think Mike Sims-Walker made some of the better catches that he's made since he's been here. So really happy to see that. And really, like you said when we started, all around, you know, there were contributions from every part of this football team.
How important was this win? You know, going into the bye week to get back to 500, to kind of get refocused on being a football team and getting better.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is our guys have continued to work hard. You need to win, you know, to stay in it. And so, you know, we knew that we needed to come in here and get a win. There was a little carrot dangling that made the bye week a little better for them. There was a carrot in terms of, you know, a couple additional days that would go a little lighter. But we'll still get our work in Wednesday and Thursday and give them the weekend. So, but it was huge because we got back to 500 and as a football team, you know, being able to enjoy the time that we're going to get over the bye, heal up a little bit, continue to drive home some of the things we need to be better at and then come out in the second half and let it loose.
Speaking of healing up, a couple guys kind of got shaken up in the ballgame. Maurice did, Tyson did, but they all returned. The one that was kind of concerning when it happened was Don Carey. You know, anytime you see somebody getting rolled over and they're stabilizing the head and neck, it's a concern. But he got up and he walked off. Then he came into the locker room on a cart. What's his status?
Well, I just saw him walking around. I don't know his status beyond that. I thought that's a good sign. You know, when you lay on the carpet like that for a while, there's concern. And you know, he was moving when I went out there, and then he's, you know, walking around now. So I have not heard from the doctors. Obviously, he took a shot, and I don't know exactly what went on. But it's great to see him up moving around. Looks like he's going to be fine.
All right. Thank you, Jack.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. That's the coach's report brought to you by Bubba Burgers. And you also heard the injury report from Brooks Rehabilitation. Much more to come here on the Jaguars postgame show, Winn-Dixie postgame show. When the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after they win. All participating North Florida Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. We'll take a break. Return with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this on Jaguars Radio. For the Winn-Dixie postgame show, we're trying to reconnect with Jeff Lugerman down in the locker room. At this point, he can't hear us, although we can hear him. So we're trying to get through to him. Our defensive player of the game is Derek Cox, brought to you by Jack Hanania, Acura of Orange Park, Audi of Jacksonville, Hyundai of Orange Park, and Volkswagen of Orange Park, all on Blanding Boulevard, just north of I-295. Two interceptions for Derek Cox today. The Jaguars took advantage of both of them. Four total on John Kitna. That is a franchise record. O'Reilly Auto Parts offensive player of the game, as we told you. Mike Sims-Walker, 8 catches, 153, and a touchdown. And let's go back downstairs and try and reconnect with Loggy, who's got our Jack Hanania defensive player of the game. Logs.
All right, thank you, Brian, here with Derek Cox. Derek, congratulations. Two takeaways for you, interceptions, and how big was that for a game of this magnitude against a backup quarterback on the road against the Cowboys?
It's big. I think the biggest thing is that we did score off of those takeaways. So whenever you can have a greater turnover margin or you have more takeaways and you have turnovers and you're scoring off of those, plus always.
3-4, and then you got a bye week coming up. How important was it to get this win?
It puts us back at 500, and, you know, going into a bye week, yeah, it's going to be nice for everybody, like having a positive feeling with some days off.
So with this football team, I mean, does it just change the total thought process? Because, you know, I think in the last couple of weeks, people are like, oh, geez, you know, in the world, season's gone. Changes the mentality, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. winning ball games is that's the name of the league, and when you win, especially on the road, it's huge for your team.
All right, thank you, Derek.
You're welcome.
All right, that is Derek Cox, our Jack Cannonia Defensive Player of the Game. Told you the Offensive Player of the Game, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. He's Mike Sims-Walker, 8 for 153 and a touchdown. Could have gone with Maurice Jones-Drew, season-high carries, 27, season-high yards, 135. Or even Mercedes Lewis, who had his third two-touchdown game of the year, but we went with Mike Sims-Walker. O'Reilly Auto Parts makes a donation to the Jack Del Rio Foundation in the name of Mike Sims-Walker. We go back to the locker room, and Jeff Loggeman.
All right, thank you, Brian, here with Mike Sims-Walker. Mike, congratulations. 8 catches, 153 yards, and a touchdown. And most importantly, I'm sure you know, is the win on the road to get this team back to 500.
Yeah, man, that was all we was talking about all week, man. Go out here and have a good week of practice, and no matter whatever it takes, man, we got to get out of Dallas with a win. Get back to 500, going to the bye week, feeling good about ourselves, and we got it done today.
How big of a concern was it, you know, about David? I mean, it's his first game back from a concussion, and he's a guy who's never been hurt, so you just don't know. And all of a sudden, he goes out there and has the highest rated game in franchise history.
David wasn't really a problem. He had a great week of practice. It was hot this week. I don't know why. You know, we crunk it up a little bit in practice. We knew we needed this game, and we needed those two solid days of practice. And Friday came in and got some good work in. And I think this week, today's game just transferred over from his hard week of practices this week. That's where I really think it came from.
Yeah, and offensively, you moved the change. I mean, it allowed Maurice to get more carries, and certainly Dave did a great job spreading the ball out to you guys because, I mean, you had a touchdown. Mercedes had two. Mike had one. Yeah. Everybody was getting the ball.
Exactly. That was all we had. We were just trying to get Maurice going. We kept hollering at, man. Maurice, we haven't really established the run game like we wanted to this season so far. And we really wanted to get the Maurice going because once Maurice is going, everybody's going. And, you know, it showed the day. Maurice got in there, 10 here, 10 here, 5 here. And, you know, that opened up the passing game. So once we get Maurice going, everything else is history.
Congratulations. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
All right. All the numbers, by the way, brought to you by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. Our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP is, of course, David Garrard. 4 touchdowns for David. How about this? 17 of 21 completions, 260, 4 touchdowns, 157.8 passer rating, the highest single-game passer rating in franchise history. Also ran for a touchdown in the Jaguars' 35-17 win. Bueller Swiss watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robinson Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park, and Lords and Barons Jewelers in Tallahassee. And he is with Loggeman in the locker room. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. David, I got to admit, I mean, this is a game that I came into. I was going, what are we going to see out of David? He didn't play since the Monday night. He had a concussion in that game. And what you had was the highest-rated game in franchise history.
Yeah, you know, I was interested myself, you know, just seeing how guys flying around me, getting hit, seeing if I would, you know, bounce back, if anything would reoccur. But it didn't. I just played comfortable. The offensive line did a great job of keeping the guys off me. There was one sack that I took myself and I shouldn't have. But other than that, man, you know, just playing ball. You know, I was just so happy to be back out there. You know, that week off, you know, it was just excruciating. Not just watching, you know, it's terrible. But being back out there, just giving my receivers, you know, Mercedes, Maurice, giving those guys a chance with the ball and letting them make plays.
How was it coming into this place? I mean, here it is, the Mecca of football in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. When you walked in the door, were you like, oh, my goodness, like I was?
Well, I wasn't like, oh, my goodness, but I took a few pictures. You know, I took a few snapshots just because you don't see stuff like this every day, you know. And to be able to send stuff back home to my family and friends to show them what things look like, you know, it is pretty cool. But, you know, I thought before the game when I was riding on the bus, you know, it's going to be an awesome stage and everything, but it's still a football field and it's still a football game, you know. So when it all boils down to it, just go out there and have fun and play ball.
Congratulations, David, and heck of a ball game. And most importantly, getting a win, isn't it?
Absolutely, it was. You know, just we needed it. We needed it going into this bye week. We needed it in the worst way. And we're 500 now, so we got the train back on the right tracks.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
All right, that's our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP, 157.8 passer rating, highest single game in franchise history. Bud play of the game, easy. Jaguars led 14-3, but were backed up to their own goal line. Third and goal from the one, Marion Barber. Remember, Marion Barber, Pro Bowl, slams it in. God, 2006, 2007, 24 touchdowns like that. Today, third and goal from the one, didn't get it. So Wade Phillips decides to go for it on fourth and goal from inside the one-yard line. Seemed like a sure thing at the time. Didn't turn out that way. Here it is. Kitten under center, takes it. Hands it off, and he runs into his own man. He didn't get in. Barber's still fighting. Did he get in? I don't think he got in. The Jaguars say he didn't get in. He didn't get in. They spotted it shy of the goal line. What a stand by the Jaguars defense. And they reviewed it, and he still didn't get in. Jaguars went into the locker room 14-3 at the half, then came out, drove down the field, and went up 21-3, and the game was essentially over with about 12 minutes to play in the third quarter. They win 35-17. That's our Bud play of the game from Bud Light. It's a sure sign of a good time. Here we go, and that's what the Jaguars are saying. Here we go home on Halloween. Time to trick-or-treat. It was all treats here at Cowboys Stadium today. Bye week next week, then Houston at home. Jaguars feeling pretty good right now. We are, too. We certainly appreciate the folks at CopyFax, the exclusive and only provider of business machines for the Jacksonville Jaguars, for printing our game charts yet again. Road spotter John Dineen making the trip from Atlantic Beach, Florida. Scott Kushner here. Although, Scott, I mean, you had it easy today. I mean, the only thing you didn't have was Joe waiting on you. That's about it. But he did everything else right. Hard not to in these surroundings. Of course, Jaguars football on radio goes nowhere without the pointed commentary of Joe Fortunato. Jaguars win big today, 35-17, and we send it back to Cole, Pete, Marco, Ed, Linda, the whole crew back at Jaguars Central. Halfway point of the season, 4-4. Not the best, but not too bad considering the circumstances. Final score, final time from the Taj Mahal, ladies and gentlemen. This one in Texas, 35-17 on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Now from Jaguars Central, Cole Pepper, Pete Vanizek, Marco Coleman, following the Jaguars' 35-17 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. And if there was ever a team and a time that needed a win in a city and an environment, this might have been it, Pete. I mean, the coach's seat was getting hot. The quarterback questions were coming up. The fans are wondering everything. And now you got a whole week to enjoy it.
They couldn't have gotten it from a better team.
Yeah.
You know, they're self-proclaimed America's team, Jerry Jones.
There's no anti-Cowboy feeling from a former Raider, is there?
Oh, I mean, that makes me puke every time I hear that America's team. You know, America's team's over in Afghanistan and Iraq and all that, but his team played like Doofus's team today and continue their streak of losing games.
Marco, as a former Redskin, there couldn't possibly be an Eagle, right? Couldn't possibly Mark be.
Marco loves seeing Dallas go down.
Dallas
loves
feelings?
Seeing Dallas go down.
Now, and this is really the big question. We touched on it earlier, and I want to spend a little time on it here. Is this a temporary relief for the Jaguars? Or is this the kind of game that a young team can have that can catapult them forward for the rest of the year? I mean, it's a crystal ball question, I realize, but let's spend a little time with the crystal ball. Mark, what do you
think? Well, you know, last season they were in this exact same position, 4-4. But you see a lot of the potential. You see the Cox, he's been playing like he's bringing you what you want to see out of him. You know, you see Mike Sims-Walker making strides today. You see glimpses of the David Garrard that we are accustomed to seeing, not making a lot of mistakes and making really good decisions. An offensive line that is blocking really well. I think this was probably the best game that I've seen Maurice Jones-Drew look. He didn't score a touchdown, but I thought he was very decisive and a lot more explosive in his approach to running the ball today.
Pete, this is the best game the Jaguars have played all year, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They played like a cohesive football team and played up to their abilities. I thought Jack Del Rio did a good job. Obviously, they were prepared. Coaching staff did. And like Marco said, they did a lot of good things. One of the good things I liked offensively was their tenacity and their physical. And that's the old Jaguar team. Yeah. You know, getting after them, pounding them around. Cowboys don't like physical teams. You know, they like to play that patty cake football. But this they don't like this stuff when you pound on them. I saw us throwing deep, spreading the field out. I saw a different attitude almost among the coaches and the game plan that I've seen in the past 4 or 5 weeks. I don't, you know, to answer your question, this could be the start of something great. This is what maybe they needed, or are we saying, or you know, like Marco said, are we seeing the same type of team that we saw last year? You know, time will tell. But I'll tell you one thing, everything that came out of this ball game today was positive.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, best all-around game for sure. Talked about Garrard's big numbers. Eugene Monroe made DeMarcus Ware a non-factor today. Mike Sims-Walker had his best game of the year.
Best game. Made some tough catches over the middle.
And
great.
In key times, Maurice Jones-Drew, as you mentioned. Jordan Black filling in at right tackle.
You know, I had some questions about Alawalo and playing against the run. He played against some really big offensive linemen today and really showed a lot of tackles for losses. Big plays on defense that made a big difference.
All right, we'll get to more on the defense here after the break. Want to talk about that for sure. The Jaguars certainly got the job done today when they needed to with the victory. But when we come back, we'll talk about David Garrard in a little bit more detail and what he did today, plus some of the other guys on offense who made a difference for the Jaguars. Jaguars get the win 35-17 over the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, you can score a touchdown with Geico in just 15 minutes. Save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO today for your free rate quote. Back with more on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars' 35-17 victory over the Cowboys. Right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Following the Jaguars' 35-17 victory over the Dallas Cowboys, Cole Pemper, Pete Vanizek, Marco Coleman here at Jaguar Central. Jerry Jones quoted as saying, "I am not in any way for making changes." Doesn't believe there's anything to gain from firing his coach, but there's a lot of talk in Dallas about the heat being on Wade Phillips, and after falling to 1-6, they haven't won in that new stadium. It's going to be a rough week to be a Dallas Cowboy. Won't be a rough week to be a Jacksonville Jaguar because of the win. Jack Del Rio gives them a Monday off, and Tuesday always the week off. The bye week coming up. It should be a much more enjoyable week than the Jaguars have had of late. Let's talk a little about the offense and some of the guys I want to focus on, starting with David Garrard. Pete, it seems like when Garrard has good games, he's good from the outset. Right? You can see right away, is he going to be David Garrard, or is he going to be, you know, is it Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? And today, right from the beginning, he was sharp.
Well, again, you know, like you said, he was sharp. You know, I think at one point he was 15 for 15 or 15 for 16. Yep. But as we always said, this team goes like David Garrard goes. Now, you know, it's great to win, but you know, we got to keep things in perspective. We beat a 1-6 team that really is not a good football team at all.
If you were a pessimist, you could say half of the Jaguars' wins have come against teams who have, you know, one win between them with the Cowboys and Bills.
Exactly, but on the other hand, you know, a win is a win in the National Football League, right, especially on the road. And anytime you beat Dallas, I just love it. You know, it just makes my day happy. I'm going to go home and open my vintage wine tonight and drink a bottle of that. This is a great win, you know. But we did some things on offense that we done in the past when we win football games. Number one, pound the ball at people. Number two, be physical. And number three, don't turn it over. You know, things that we know we can do because we've done it before. And you know what? You score points that way. You move the football. We had a good balance, a run and pass, and we threw ups. We had them so off balance, you know, they didn't know whether they were on foot or horseback. You know, we did all the good things offensively.
You got vintage wine. I'm going to trick or treat at your place.
Oh, yeah. The trick. And the treats will be out tonight.
I will come by dressed as a portly broadcaster. It's a very subtle costume. Marco, we've seen the good and the bad out of David Garrard this year, and we've seen big games from Mike Sims-Walker in games in which the Jaguars lost, but it looked like there was a little fire lit under Sims-Walker today. He was not only was he getting open and making plays, but some good run after the catch, and he was fired up.
The big plays, and that's what's been missing, big plays, especially in the passing game. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all attributed to the offensive line. They gave him the time. He talked about the big matchup between Monroe and Ware and the question mark at Jordan. But, hey, Jordan Black, these guys came out, and they blocked, gave David plenty of time getting the ball out and open. I mean, that was the thing, too, about Sims-Walker. I felt like he wasn't getting himself in a position mm-hmm. to get open. He found the open areas this game. And they looked outstanding when that happens.
And that offensive line, I mean, you mentioned the tackles. When you have a running back run for over 100 yards, the guards and centers need to get a little bit of attention too. But this was really a complete win for the Jaguars.
And they did everything right. Not too many things that they did do wrong. I mean, the biggest thing was no turnovers. You figure they came into the game second most interceptions thrown. And today, flawless.
Yeah, it really was. All right, we'll take time out when we come back. Talk about the defensive effort. Compare and contrast a couple of cornerbacks in the days they had, plus the pressure the Jaguars were able to get, and the defensive tackles. And what about the situation at left defensive end? Derek Harvey benched, but then we thought he was going to get the start, announces a starter. Austin Lane got the start. They used a bunch of guys over there. Where's that going to go from here on out? The Winn-Dixie postgame show continues after the Jaguars' 35-17 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline, you get $2 in Jagbucks for details. Go to Jaguars.com. Back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, following the Jaguars' 35-17 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. All right, on the defensive side of the ball, Pete, one of the things I saw today, I think perhaps the best performance from Derek Cox in his career. He had two interceptions, made some tackles, great coverage. And the thing that stands out to me the most was the play that he made just before the he was on second down tackling Kitna, who was trying to sprint for the goal line. He made it basically warding off a blocker and then tackled Kitna with one arm, and that set up that goal line stand. After the roller coaster he's been on this year, terrific game for Derek Cox.
Yeah, he really needed this for self-confidence. But, you know, you got to keep in mind, the Cowboys in the first half drove down there five times and only got 3 points. Mm-hmm. They were in scoring territory five times. But as you said, our defense, both they buckled up and shut them down. And the thing about I liked about it, other than Rasheen Mathis, this was the best game our secondary played, in my opinion, as a group. They seemed like they knew what they were doing. You seen a little bit of cohesiveness, especially on the other side away from Mathis. Mm-hmm. Mathis got burned a couple times early in the ball game, and he jumped one route, and that's how he got the interception, which he's good at doing. But you know, other teams will watch that and catch him, and that's how you get ups on people. But the thing I like what you said about Derek Cox was he tackled good. Mm-hmm. He wrapped up, as did Carey and
Courtney Green too.
Green, they played good, and I think you get unity, you start playing together, you know, you start to depend on each other and know where each other's going to be, and it's a significant difference. Plus, you know, our defensive line, Austin Lane played a pretty good football mm-hmm. game.
Yeah, and you mentioned the unity back there and yeah. continuity. Yeah. That's one of the reasons that Gene Smith's talked about this, Jack Del Rio's talked about going with those guys and just having them all play together, because that's been one of the real issues that they've had. Now, Pete, you mentioned Rasheen Mathis, and Mark will go to you on this. Yeah, he had the pickoff, but they were targeting Rasheen Mathis early on, and the Cowboys were able to, you know, to make some things happen.
Well, he made a little bit of a make up for it at the end of the game with the big play, but early in that game it was obvious they saw a weakness there with Rasheen Mathis. He was behind all the wide receivers, all the big plays that they received. He was behind the guys, never with them, step for step until that last slant that he got a hold to. I mean, really good defensive play. The turnovers, that stop at the goal line, that's great defensive play.
A lot of highlights for the defense, including a couple of sacks that now give them 14 sacks on the year. That's significant because that's the same number of sacks they had all of last year. Is this a better pass rushing group?
It's definitely a better pass rushing group. These guys are getting after the quarterback, very tenacious. The whole concept behind being rushmen, thinking about getting after the quarterback, completely changes the whole complexion of things. Then, of course, adding, you know, the energy level of Campman and Alualu, that completely upgrades the ability to get after the passer.
Pete, if you're making the call now in 2 weeks when the Jaguars get back on the field, who's your starting left defensive end?
I'd stay with Lane or Mincy and go. Don't get off a winner. You know, I think the people that started the game, you know, and Aaron Campman's the ringleader of this, were tenacious, and there was a reborn enthusiasm in that defense today, and we got to keep that going.
Might be the best game the linebacking corps has played, right, as well as a group. Tell your special someone those three little words they've been waiting to hear. McRib is back. Only at McDonald's and only for a limited time. We'll take time out for the Winn-Dixie postgame show. The Sexton summary is straight ahead. Also still to come, the good, the bad, the ugly, and so much more. The Winn-Dixie postgame show. After the Jaguars' 35-17 victory in Dallas over the Cowboys, we're back right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie postgame show. After the Jaguars' 35-17 victory over the Dallas Cowboys, Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game. Through the calls, the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. After the Jaguars gave up an opening drive field goal to fall down 3-0, Jacksonville went to work. David Garrard finding Maurice Jones-Drew on a 10-yard hit. Then 23 yards to Mike Sims-Walker. Then 23 yards on the ground to Mojo, setting up the Jaguars' first score of the game.
Garrard under center. Hands open to play action. Quick drop, turns and fires. He's got a man. Mike Sims-Walker, touchdown Jacksonville. What a beautiful throw and a great job by Sims-Walker to get those feet down at the back of the end zone.
From 10 yards out, made it a 7-3 ball game. Then things started to fall apart for the Cowboys. On a pass intended for Felix Jones out of the backfield, it deflected. Terrence Knighton picked it off. And although the Jaguars couldn't convert on that one, the next Dallas possession, the Jaguars defense would again make a play on a tip.
David under Brad Meester, has Maurice behind him, takes the snap, drop to throw, pressure coming, plants, turns and fires a ball, he's looking for Mercedes Lewis, he's got it at the 10, breaks a tackle, he's in the end zone, touchdown Jacksonville!
That was after a Derek Cox interception, Garrard to Mercedes Lewis, longest pass play of the year for the Jaguars, longest offensive play of the year for the Jaguars, they would lead it 14-3. And maybe the key play of the ball game. With the time winding down in the first half, the Jaguars facing fourth and goal. Dallas right on the Jaguars' doorstep from, maybe 3 or 4 inches away. Jaguars D again made a big play.
Kitten under center takes it, hands it off, and he runs into his own man. He didn't get in. Barber's still fighting. Did he get in? I don't think he got in. The Jaguars say he didn't get in. He didn't get in. They spotted it shy of the goal line. What a stand by the Jaguars defense.
Really motivated the Jaguars. A big stop there. Went to the halftime locker room up 11 instead of up just 4. On the first offensive possession for the Jaguars, you could see that the Cowboys' hearts were not in it. A 6-play, 83-yard drive that included a 39-yard hookup with Mike Sims-Walker. And then just a couple of plays later,
David in the shotgun, slides a man in motion. Pressure coming, sets up the screen. It's caught Mike Thomas with room. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Mike Thomas leaps for the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
That made it a 21-3 Jaguars lead. And on the next Dallas possession, the dagger was stuck in a little more.
And Kitten with play action deep in the pocket. Looking over the middle, and this one is off the fingertips and intercepted. Derek Cox has got a second of the game. He's coming back the other way. He's got a block at the 35. Heads to the sideline and steps out of bounds at the 32-yard line.
That would lead to another Jaguars score. 5 plays later, Jacksonville would add to the lead.
David rolling right, looking into the end zone. Plants turns to fire back and throws it. And this one is caught! Touchdown! Mercedes Lewis, his 7th of the season.
And his 2nd of the ballgame, made it 28-3 after Marion Barber punched one in from a yard out to cap an 8-play, 80-yard drive in the fourth quarter. It was 28-10. The Jaguars' defense, though, was not done.
Kitten takes it, looks right, fires, and this one's intercepted. Mathis has got it. He's going to the end zone. He's at the 15, looking for a block at the 10. Stays in the game and is finally thrown out of bounds by Kitna at the 7.
And it wouldn't take long for the Jaguars to traverse those 7 yards.
David, play action, rolling out. He's going to run forward himself, and he's in the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Has thrown 4 and run for 1.
That made it 35-10. Kitna finding Jason Witten late in the ballgame to make it a little more cosmetic, 35-17. But that was the final, and that was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We're back with more, including the protector of the game and the coverage of the game, plus the good, the bad, and the ugly still to come. It's all part of the Winn-Dixie postgame show right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Pete Panizak, Marco Coleman after the Jaguars win it 35-17 in Dallas. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealer. All right, time for the Protector of the Game, brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. We have a split decision on the Protector of the Game. I was going to go with Eugene Monroe for making DeMarcus Ware a non-factor today, but Pete, you and Marco saw something else, and want to give it to somebody else.
Well, I thought that Vince Manoway played a great game, one of the best games I think that I've seen him play this year. Threw some key blocks on those screen that was two screens. He had the key block on both of those. One led for a touchdown. He's pass protection was excellent. He was just and you know what, I give credit, Eugene Monroe played a good game. Brad Meester, I thought, played a good game too. I mean, the entire offensive line was superb.
Time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. When you have a franchise record 4 interceptions from your defensive backfield, you have some choices here, Marco. Who you going to go with?
But you got to go with the guy that really made things happen, and that's Cox. Not only did he get the interceptions, but he also came up and tackled, and that's been a big issue within that secondary, just being all over the field. I have to say, Derek Cox had an outstanding day in the coverage area.
All right, we'll take time out, come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Jaguars, a lot of good to go around after improving to 4-4 on the season, winning in Dallas 35-17. Back after this, pause in the Winn-Dixie postgame show, right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, following the Jaguars 35-17 victory in Dallas. Best performance of the year. Let's see if it sounds like it in the good, the bad, and the ugly with Peter Badizak. Peter, what do you have?
It does. Believe me, beating the hell out of Jerry Jones and his, like I said, his self-proclaimed America's team is always a big joy. It's time to celebrate. I'm going to go home tonight. And if you listeners are out there, pop another can of beer and have one on Jerry Jones. This is great. I'm going to drink a bottle of wine when I get home. And the bad, the ugly, nothing. There's nothing bad about this or ugly. Nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed, but something to feel proud of. And we just got to keep playing this type of ball. Enough bad things happened the last 3 weeks. So this is all good stuff.
And you get to enjoy it with a bye week here. Right. And it's like addition by subtraction. Yes, it's great. The addition is you get to enjoy the victory. The subtraction is you don't have to worry about a 3-game losing streak. All things are better when you win in the NFL, even so much more when you have the bye week coming up.
Winning's everything. Vince Lombardi always said, "What winning
isn't everything; it's the
only thing it is."
All right, the Jaguars have the bye week. Then the following week, they host the Houston Texans here in Jacksonville. Stick around for those of you in Jacksonville. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is coming up next. We'll take your calls, your thoughts on today's ball game. Jaguars win it 35-17. Jacksonville now 4-4 on the season at the bye week. They are 50-50 propositions. And as they head to the final 8 weeks of the season, certainly still can harbor thoughts of the postseason in some regard. Still plenty of work to be done, though, from here on out. And certainly an expectation if David Garrard plays as he did today, the Jaguars will go a long, long way. Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is coming up next. Thanks for listening to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars 35-17 victory over the Cowboys. Jags at 4-4 on the year.